Has there ever been a single moment from the creation of the world until now, or until the end of time, when the holy name of God has not merited all praise? It is a name which resounds through every age, and through all that happens in every moment of all those ages. It makes all things holy. Can we imagine that the will of God will hurt us? Should I be afraid of or flee from His name? Where could I find anything better if I am afraid of God's action on me? After all, it is the work of His divine will. Now how should we listen to God who speaks to us in the depths of our hearts at every moment of our lives? We have our normal senses and our intelligence, but what if they cannot understand the truth and goodness of His words? Is it because they are too feeble to cope with the divine truths? But should we really be astonished that our human reason is baffled by the divine mysteries? When God speaks, He uses mysterious words, and they are a death blow to all that we are as rational human beings, for all the mysteries of God destroy our physical senses and our intellectuality. These mysteries revitalize the heart, but they bewilder the rest of us. By the same stroke, God kills and gives life, but the keener the pains of death, the more intensely does life flow into the soul. The darker the mystery, the more we are illumined by it. So a simple soul finds God where He seems not to appear at all. If we want to live a life of faith, we must fight without pause against our senses. 7. The love of God comes to us through all creatures, but hidden as it is in the Blessed Sacrament. How many and great are the truths hidden from us, and how true it is that every painful trial, all we have to do, and every impulse of the Spirit give us God exactly as He comes to us in the mystery of the Blessed Sacrament. Nothing is more certain, for both reason and faith tell us that God's love is present in every creature and in every event, just as Jesus Christ and the Church inform us that the sacred body and blood of God are truly present in the Eucharist. His love wishes to unite itself with us through all that the world contains, all that He had created, ordained, and allowed. That is His supreme purpose. And to accomplish it, He uses both the best and the worst of His creatures, the most unpleasant and the most delightful of happenings. The more naturally repugnant to us the chosen means, the more meritorious is our acceptance of them. So every moment of our lives can be a kind of communion with His love, a communion which can produce in our souls fruits similar to those we receive with the body and blood of the Son of God. This latter has, it is true, a sacramental power which the former cannot have. But yet, how much oftener can we experience the former, and its merit will continually increase as our dispositions develop toward perfection. The most holy of lives is a mysterious thing, because of its very simplicity and apparently humble state. What a festival and never-ending feast is ours! God ceaselessly gives Himself and is received with no pomp and circumstance, but hidden beneath all that is weak and foolish and worthless. He chooses what our natural feelings despise and what our human prudence rejects. From these cast-offs, He creates miracles of love and gives Himself to us as often as we believe we have found Him there. 8. The disclosure that each moment brings is of such great value because it is meant for us personally. We are really well taught only by the words which God addresses especially to us. Neither books nor laborious delving into history will instruct us about the wisdom of God. They will fill us with a useless, muddled kind of knowledge and puff us up with pride. It is what happens moment by moment which enlightens us and gives us that practical knowledge which Jesus Christ Himself chose to acquire before beginning His public life. The Gospel tells us how He increased in wisdom, Luke 2, verse 52. Although as God, all wisdom was already His, This knowledge that comes to us only through experience is absolutely necessary if we want to touch the hearts of those God sends to us. We can understand nothing perfectly except what experience has taught through what we have suffered and done. Our Master is the Holy Spirit, who gives us these words of life, and all we say to others must come from Him. All we read and study becomes fruitful, clear, and effective under the guidance of experience. Without it, we are dough without yeast or salt. Our ideas are vague and ill-directed. We are like absent-minded people who know all about geography but lose their way when going home. So we must listen to God moment by moment to become learned in this practical theology of virtue. Take no notice of what is said to other people. Listen only to what is said to and for you. There will be enough there to strengthen your faith, for it will be exercised, purified, and deepened by the very obscurity of these communications. 9. The present moment is an ever-flowing source of holiness. Are we thirsty? Then we have not far to go to find the fountain of living water. It bubbles up near us at every moment. How foolish it is to tire ourselves by searching for tiny rivulets which can never quench our thirst. Only the fountain can satisfy us. It is inexhaustible. Do you want to think, write, and live like prophets, apostles, and saints? Then you must surrender, as they did, to the inspirations of God. O unknown love, it would seem that all your wonders are over and done with, and that there is nothing left to do but copy your old works and repeat your utterances of the past. We do not see that your activity can ever be exhausted, and that it is an endless source of fresh thoughts, new sufferings, new deeds, a source of new patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and saints, who have no need to copy anything written and done before their time, but simply spend their lives in continual abandonment of themselves to your hidden guidance. We are always hearing of the early centuries and the days of the saints. What a way to speak! Surely we must realize that in every age, including this one, God's will works through every moment, making each one holy and giving it a supernatural quality. Can we imagine that in the days of old there was a secret method of abandoning oneself to the divine will that is now out of date? And had the saints of those early times any other secret apart from that of obeying God's will from moment to moment? And will not God continue until the end of the world to pour out His grace upon all the souls who utterly abandon themselves to Him? O adorable love, eternal, ever fruitful, and ever marvelous, you give me all the knowledge and learning I need. You embrace all I think, say, do, and suffer. I shall not become what you want me to be by studying your earlier works, but only by welcoming you in all things. By following that old royal road of our fathers, I shall be enlightened and shall think and speak as they did. That is the way I want to imitate, quote, and copy all of them. 10. The present moment always reveals the presence and the power of God. Every moment we live through is like an ambassador who declares the will of God, and our hearts always utter their acceptance. Our souls steadily advance, never halting, but sweeping along with every wind. Every current, every technique thrusts us onward in our voyage to the infinite. Everything works to this end, and without exception helps us toward holiness. We can find all that is necessary in the present moment. We need not worry about whether to pray or be silent, whether to withdraw into retreat or mix with people, to read or write, to meditate or make our minds a receptive blank, to shun or seek out books on spirituality. Nor do poverty or riches, sickness or health, life or death matter in the least. What does matter is what each moment produces by the will of God. We must strip ourselves naked, renounce all desire for created things, and retain nothing of ourselves or for ourselves, so that we can be wholly submissive to God's will, and so delight Him. Our only satisfaction must be to live in the present moment as if there were nothing to expect beyond it. If what happens to a soul abandoned to God is all that is necessary for it, it is clear that it can lack nothing, and that it should never complain, for this would show that it lacked faith and was living by the light of its reason and the evidence of its senses. Neither reason nor the senses are ever satisfied, for they never see the sufficiency of grace. To hallow the name of God is, according to the Scriptures, to recognize His holiness and to love and adore it in all the things which proceed like words from the mouth of God. For what God creates at each moment is a divine thought, which is expressed by a thing. And so all these things are so many names and words through which He makes known His wishes. God's will is single and individual, with an unknown and inexpressible name, but it is infinitely diverse in its effects, which are, as it were, as many as the names it assumes. To hallow God's name is to know, to worship, and to love the ineffable being who bears it. It is also to know, to worship, and to love His adorable will every moment and all that it does, regarding all that happens as so many veils, shadows, and names, beneath which this eternal and most holy will is always active. It is holy in all it does, holy in all it says, holy in every manifestation, and holy in all the names it bears. It is thus that Job blessed the name of God. This holy man blessed the utter desolation which fell upon him, for it displayed the will of God. His ruin he regarded as one of God's names, and in blessing it he was declaring that no matter how terrible its manifestations, it was always holy, under whatever name or form it appeared. And David never ceased to bless it. It is by this continual recognition of the will of God, as displayed and revealed in all things, that God reigns in us, that His will is done on earth as in heaven, and that He nourishes us continually. The full and complete meaning of self-abandonment to His will is embraced in the matchless prayer given to us by Jesus Christ. By the command of God and the Church, we recite it several times a day, but apart from this, if we love to suffer and obey His adorable will, we shall utter it constantly in the depths of our hearts. When we can utter it only through our mouths, which takes time, our hearts can speak instantly, and it is in this manner that simple souls are called to bless God from the depths of their souls. Yet they complain bitterly that they cannot praise Him as much as they desire, for God gives to them so much that they feel they cannot cope with such riches. A secret working of the divine wisdom is to pour treasure into the heart whilst impoverishing the senses, so that the one overflows whilst the other is drained and emptied. The events of every moment are stamped with the will of God. How holy is His name! How right it is to bless it and to treat it as something which sanctifies all it touches. Can we see anything which carries this name without showing it with infinite love? It is a divine warmth from heaven and gives us a ceaseless increase of grace. It is the kingdom of heaven which penetrates the soul. It is the bread of angels which is eaten on earth as well as in heaven. There is nothing trivial about our passing moments, as they enclose the whole kingdom of holiness and the food on which angels feed. Yes, O Lord, may You rule my heart, nourish it, purify it, make it holy, and let it triumph over all its enemies. Most precious moment! How small it is to my bodily eyes, but how great to the eyes of my faith! How can I think of it as nothing when it is thought of so highly by my heavenly Father? All that comes from Him is most excellent and bears the imprint of its origin. 11. The action of God inspires souls to seek the highest degree of holiness. What is required from each soul is complete abandonment to this activity. Because they do not know how to make use of God's action, many people have recourse to too many means to try to reach holiness. All these could be useful if they were ordained by God, but they are harmful when they hinder the simple, straightforward union of the soul with God. Jesus is our Master, to whom we do not pay enough attention. He speaks to every heart and utters the word of life, the essential word for each one of us, but we do not hear it. We would like to know what he has said to other people, yet we do not listen to what he says to us. We do not try enough to look at things as having been given a supernatural character by God's action. We should always receive them with the confidence they deserve, generously and with an open heart, for none of them can harm us if we welcome them in this manner. This tremendous activity of God, which never varies from the beginning to the end of time, pours itself through every moment and gives itself in all its vastness and power to every clear-hearted soul which adores and loves it and abandons itself without reserve to it. You say you would be delighted to be able to die for God. You would find great pleasure in such a violent deed or a life that ended up that way. You long to lose everything, to die abandoned by everybody, and to sacrifice your life for others. But as for me, Lord, I give all glory to your will. Obedience to it gives me all the joy of martyrdom, austerity, and loving my neighbor. Your will is all sufficient for me, and I am happy to live and die as it ordains. I delight in it for itself alone, quite apart from all it does, pervading all things and rendering all it touches divine. Because of it, all my life seems lived in heaven. My every moment is part of your activity, and living or dead, I can know no greater bliss. I shall no longer count the times and the manner of your approach, my beloved. You will always be welcome. It seems to me, dear will of God, that you have revealed to me your greatness, and there is now no longer anything I can do outside its embrace, which is the same yesterday, tomorrow, and forever.